I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's going on? Hour number two, and we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Big hour coming up. Big hour. We'll get to these calls, 1-855-212-4227, about the whole LeBron IQ and how it's, I don't want to say that it's overstated, but it's just beaten to a bloody pulp. I'm not saying that it's not accurate. Just a little every single night, this narration of his career, this and that and this and that. Austin Carr will join us coming up next segment, Cavaliers TV analyst. We've had him on before. Really good guy.
We have.
Former first overall pick back in, what was that, 78 maybe?
71.
Early?
71.
Wow. All right. Looks good. I thought it was in the late 70s. 71, Austin Carr. Football at the 40s as well, and right around 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, we'll unveil our grand prize winner, Tiki and Tierney, as we set up our grand prize package for the Def Leppard and Journey combo contest. San Francisco, fly out, put you up a couple of nights, sweet tickets to the concert. So that's coming up at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Yeah, so we got a lot to do.
Here's a final thought on Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is in that same situation that Odell Beckham Jr. is. He is obviously one of the greats in the National Football League, and justifiably so, had his fifth-year option exercised. However, because he, like Odell, is outside of that top 10, that fifth-year option is $6.5 million. Wow. Or almost just under $7 million. Yeah. And that's why he's the 31st or 30th, whatever, paid defensive tackle. And let's be honest, the Rams, we saw their spin this offseason.
Spent a lot, like drunken sailors going into town.
No doubt, because they want to win right now. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's kind of necessary for a market that's still trying to bring football fans in, bring in as many stars, as many names as you possibly can, have a great product on the field, which we know it's going to happen. But Aaron Donald gets stuck because they push themselves up against the cap, and they can't afford to pay him. And more importantly, they have control. He can't do anything. He can't go play for anybody else. Mm-hmm. So he can sit out a year and probably get that one. I forget what the term they use is, where they don't get to count that year going forward. He's stuck, just like Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham changed his stance, and instead of sitting out of all the OTAs and organized activities in the offseason, he's actually there. And so he's taking a different approach than Aaron Donald is.
But he needed to, quite frankly.
Yeah, you're right.
That's one of the differences.
Because his reputation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, not to hijack it on a day where, Odell and Donald aren't the lead stories here. But, I mean, Aaron Donald's been, he's been a trooper. He's been a model citizen, been a good soldier. I'm not saying that Odell's a criminal. He's not that. He's immature. He certainly tightened up his act this offseason. Maybe this is his entrance into adulthood. And if so, it's a good look for him. Giants need him. Giant fans want him. He's one of the most transcendent players in terms of talent that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you can take... You could go through every sport. I mean, really, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Mario Lemieux, or he's going to be as good as Mike Trout, or he's going to be as good as Ken Griffey Jr., or he's going to be as good as a young Jordan, but he's like that kind of ilk.
Yeah.
But he had to get his act together. Aaron Donald did nothing except show up and dominate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I don't understand.
Look, there is a...
It's unfair.
There's so many metrics that measure what a guy is worth. So there's one on Spotrac, and it's really interesting because if you look at his current contract, which his average salary is about $2.5 million, which ranks 39th amongst D tackles, but his market value, what he should be worth, is well over $115 million, making almost $19 million a year. And
wow.
You wonder why he's upset.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the
We're
man.
We're upset for him.
I agreed.
I mean, in terms of the court of public opinion, I mean, the jurors were like, he's innocent.
Donald, you win.
Yeah, you win. Court of jurors, get out. Rams, you lose.
Exactly.
Donald, you win. All right, so speaking of big names, here's a big name that is suddenly involved in, I don't know that it's quite a story. I want to properly put this in the right context
here. I think it is a story.
Okay,
I think it is.
I do too, but Okay, so Zach Lowe, I guess he was doing as a podcast, and he was talking about how Carl Anthony Towns and the T-Wolves are, quote, not in a good place internally right now. That was the way he characterized their relationship. I know Windhorse was, I guess it was a podcast. They were doing the same podcast. Windhorse chimed in and spoke about Anthony Davis, how it appears as if he's going to stay in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and that looks like they're going to keep him out of trade talks. However, Windhorse, when he actually followed up what Lowe said, he said, quote, I don't think Anthony Davis is going anywhere anytime soon, but Towns, now that might be a different story. Interesting. Listen, I don't know Windhorse. I had him on my show back in the day a couple of times. I almost hesitate to say this.
Yeah, we had him in studio about a year ago.
I was off that day.
Oh, yeah, you were.
I don't see Windhorse breaking any stories. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see him breaking anything. I mean, he really burst on the scene.
Which doesn't mean he doesn't know anything.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But he burst on the scene because of his relationship with LeBron, yep. obviously, and his proximity and, you know, the ability to get some it. But he hasn't gotten anything from LeBron for years. I'm not saying he's not piped into the league. I'm happy you point that out because I was going to say that as well. But I do want to temper this with an element of caution. I don't know. If this was a Woj bomb, the earth might stop spinning for a couple of minutes because this is a big deal. Let's pretend that this is actually, not even pretend. Let's assume that Windhorse is piped in on this one.
Okay.
Okay, and he's got contacts and sources and he's well-sourced and he's hearing there's a real division. My question between the T-Wolves and Carl Anthony Towns, my question is, why? Like, and once you get past the why, the next question, and really the only question that matters, is it fixable?
Yep.
Is it correctable? Can we repair this?
This is just observation from the outside. So we saw them in the postseason this year, and it felt like Thibodeau has changed his MO. Remember how he was in Chicago? Guys couldn't stand him. I mean, they actually loved him, but they couldn't stand
him.
Very
intense.
Right? It was great until it wasn't, type of thing. And I think he's calmed that a little bit. And I think for a while we saw this as, man, this is going to be a great move for Carl Anthony Towns and for Andrew Wiggins and even with Jeff Teague there. It's like these guys are going to buy in to whatever Tibbs is saying. Let's play tough-nosed defense. Let's do things the right way, the old school way in a sense. And you can get down with that. And having Carl Anthony Towns in studio like we did, you could tell he's the kind of kid that's like, I can buy that.
Great kid.
Right? I'm coachable. Tell me what to do,
yeah,
coach.
Yeah.
But then they go and they get Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And just from watching them play sometimes, it felt like this team went from a team that focused on making Carl Anthony Towns the guy and getting the shots and make sure you're at your spot to Jimmy Butler dominating their on-court persona. And it gets frustrating. You're a young man. You're in your second year. Going in your fourth year now. It's supposed to be about you, and all of a sudden, it's either divided or it's not about you. And so, while this is being positioned as a Thibodeau thing,
mm-hmm.
it might not be that. It might just be I'm not good at playing in the sandbox with this particular guy. And
interesting, because Butler had some issues with Derrick Rose, at least reportedly, when D. Rose was still balling in Chicago, and why
I believe it could be something going forward, because we all know how the deals work for rookies when they come in. They're 4 years, and then they're eligible for extensions, right? But if you get traded in those first 4 years, when you hit year nine, you're available. You can have the supermax. But you have to be traded in that first 4 years. Otherwise, the supermax is not available for you. I mean, it's still, you're making stupid money anyways, mm-hmm. but it kind of matters to some people.
Sure.
And so the fact that if he is unhappy, doesn't see this as his future, he could be forcing a conversation about him being traded just so that he can still qualify for the supermax to be somewhere where he's happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I could see this being viable. Now, the truth of that, I don't know. I'm just speculating on what you can kind of see
gotcha. When
he's disengaged because Jimmy Butler's doing what Jimmy Butler does.
See, it's funny because I look at this from the point of the Timberwolves. I'm happy that you actually attack it from that point of view. And I didn't even know that you were going to go that direction. But now we can just naturally volley and encompass both the player and the team side, because to me, that's the first thing I thought of. All right, a couple of things. First of all, he took four fewer shots a game this year. Mm-hmm. If he's – and his numbers didn't really drop in terms of points per game and all that stuff.
Getting better.
he's getting, I mean, he's, yeah. I know that there was a couple of playoff games where Thibodeau got into him, yep. You know, he kind of embarrassed him post-game presser. Maybe that's part of the division, mm-hmm. if this is actually true. But 3 years, he's played every single game during the regular season, 82, 82, 82. This past season, not even 23 years of age yet, his PER was 25. For a big man, usually gets some liability at the free throw line late. Look at Shaq, mm-hmm. look at Wilt, look at all these big men. No, 85% from the stripe. He's got a great touch. 21 points, 12 rebounds. Now, he's not an explosive. He's not great on the pick and roll. But he's added the three-point shot to his game. This everything that this kid does has gotten better.
I'm telling you.
34% his first season. It's not that good. Didn't take a ton. 36%, a little more confident. This year, 42%.
Yeah.
And he made 120. He took a lot, or he took a fair amount. So I look at this and I say, well, okay, so the micro view would be, let me just have tunnel vision on Karl Anthony Towns' situation for a moment. The macro view pertaining to the whole team, and this is where I branch out and I say, T-Wolves, you got to get your act together and fix this if it's actually on you,
yeah.
and not him. I look at the roster moving forward and who's a part of it. Jimmy Butler, terrific player, not a superstar, but probably the next tier mm-hmm. below it. He's going to be 29 in September.
Yep.
He's got 1 year guaranteed, then he's got a player option. He's probably going to opt out of that because he's still young enough and good enough as a two-way player. He'll get big money, so he's going to bounce or at least be in a position to re-sign for mm-hmm. big money with Minnesota. Jeff George, similar. He's got a guaranteed deal.
Teague.
Thank you. Jeff Teague, 1 year, and he's got a player option. And based on his age, and I don't love Teague, but he's certainly good. Mm-hmm. There's a dearth of guards in the NBA, probably opts out, gets paid somewhere else. And now you start to look at, really outside of Jang, who's got a couple of years to go and is a good complimentary player, there's nobody on this roster where I'm saying, all right, down the road, there's this budding friction for like who, it's not like, and I'm not saying Embiid and Simmons have this yeah. problem, they've got great rapport, but if there was like this, they were fighting for the biggest piece of the pie, if Simmons wanted to be the guy and Embiid wanted to be the guy, and it was just... it wasn't going to work, and you had to make a decision. He's got to go or he's got to go. Now, luckily for Philly, there's great harmony,
yeah.
and they should win a championship if Embiid stays healthy. There's nobody, because Butler is just too old at this point, going to be 29, that the peak of Towns' career is not going to intersect with Butler, so there shouldn't be any...
Wiggins?
No, not for my money. I mean, it's Towns all the way. So if I'm Minnesota, I'm sitting there saying... I mean, unless I get Kawhi Leonard, and maybe if you engage the Knicks on Porzingis, there's not a conversation to be had.
Yeah.
You stay put.
Yeah, and the reason this comes up, though, is because reportedly, and maybe there's some truth behind this, that there was conversations about Blake Griffin being traded to Minnesota before he ultimately got dealt to the Pistons. Because when you tell me that deal... Karl Anthony Towns for Blake Griffin, I'm laughing in your face. I'm like, seriously?
No disrespect to Blake. That's at this point, that's about 75 cents on the dollar.
I agreed.
It really is.
I agreed. So it didn't make sense, but that's what people are basing this off of. If the Minnesota Timberwolves were willing, or at least fielding calls on that deal back before the trade deadline last season, then there must be something here, right? There must be some disconnect that's getting deeper. Because these stories just keep, they don't die, right? They just keep coming, they get doubled down on again and again and again and again. It's not dissimilar to what's happening with the New England Patriots, right? The stories just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You wonder, you know, if there's truth to it. I agree with you, but I could see from Karl Anthony Towns' standpoint,
mm-hmm.
if Thibodeau is not as...
Flexible
as we think he has become because of his experience in Chicago.
Plus, Butler's his guy.
Keep
that in mind. I mean, that is important.
And Butler comes in, and Butler's the alpha number one now because Tibbs is his guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking less shots, and he's feeling less appreciated, and he wants to make the Supermax somewhere, and it's got to be with either his original team or a team that he's traded to within his first 4 years. You could see his camp, maybe not necessarily him, but mm-hmm. his camp starting to – get some feelers out there.
Mm.
I could see this.
Mm.
I really could. Because when you watch them play in the postseason, and maybe it was just an anomaly in the postseason, but when you watched him play in the postseason, he seemed disengaged.
He's also still a young pup, man.
True, but...
but disengaged is scary.
Yes.
It's one thing to shoot 4-for-17
yes.
and have rough nights. I hear you. An element of disengagement.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was someone we were talking about this, BT. He got like six shots.
And he did look a little bit disconnected for
right.
sure.
Right. And then Tibbs, you know, called him out on
it. Yeah, as he's want to do. He's old school in that matter. I hear. I know we got a break and get into the Cavaliers. We're going to have Austin Carr on. But I'm sorry, man. If he wants to make it work, Carl Anthony Towns, and you might be right. Maybe his camp's planting seeds. But let's just say, leap of faith for a moment, he wants to stay and resolve this. If the Timberwolves willingly and proactively try to get rid of him, they should disband and they should never they should shrivel up and fade away into a pond in Minnesota and hang out with the fish and never make their way beyond 30 feet of ice. We should never see them again. Because you draft the kid who's 7'1", 260.
Wins Rookie of the Year.
Who wins Rookie of the Year. He's played every single game, 246 games out of 246. He averages 23 points a game. He's a high-character young man who wants to be a doctor when he's done retiring. He shoots threes. He hits 85% for the stripe. And you want to get rid of this guy? Then you can't have a franchise if that's the case.
So what we're saying,
you don't deserve that.
What we're saying is it better be coming from Carl Anthony Towns' side and not from the Minnesota Timberwolves side.
There you go. Tweet us up. And if you want to throw some crazy trades our way, we'll certainly read them at Tiki and Tierney. But Carl Anthony Towns, he's one of a kind. He's terrific. All right, Austin Carr coming up, Cavaliers TV analyst, former first overall pick back in 1971. Two apiece. Get his thoughts on what's transpired and what's next for the Cavaliers, and also maybe what he thinks LeBron does this summer. We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, guys? Catch my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop. Each week I catch up with a star from the world of sports or entertainment, sometimes politics, and talk things all life and career. And so far, I've sat down with a bunch of different guys. Bruce Arians, who we all know on this show. Nate Boyer, who sat with Colin Kaepernick before that protest movement that ultimately got him somewhat blacklisted from the league. Sean Avery, one of the dirty bad men from the game of the NHL. Hamilton star Chris Jackson, Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman, and even my good buddy and publicist to the stars, Ron Berkowitz. Tiki's Barbershop is brought to you by Geico. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, there's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, this song used to come on. It used to just be mayhem in the bars. Oh, God, all the tough guys got a couple of drinks in them. Who's stepping up to whose girl? Who bumped into whom? Who knocked somebody's bottle of beer over?
It takes two, man.
Always.
This is D-Cell being smart.
Always dicey times.
Series tied 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Takes two.
Well, takes two. He's brilliant.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Now, did he tell you that? Or?
Yeah, no,
of course he told you that.
No.
You didn't.
Of course I didn't pick that up. But it's smart. Not quite LeBron smart, but it is smart.
Yeah. Now I hear you.
I'll give you credit, D-Cell.
Austin Carr is, I guess he just got hung up a little bit. Hopefully we'll get with him. First overall pick back in 71, part of the Cavaliers broadcast team. D-Cell, how you doing today, buddy? You okay?
Feeling good on Tuesday.
You look good.
I sense a little sarcasm there.
Well, no, I mean, you know, last week you sat in the producer's chair, so you had to bust out the producer hat, you know? Try to ham it up a little bit.
You really didn't like that hat.
I thought it looked great on you, but I just thought it was interesting that the day that you're producing, you know, different seat, different camera angle, try to look good on the tube. I'm not saying I'm mad at you.
I'm never going to wear a hat again, though.
It's the first time I've ever seen you wear one. That's why I jumped out.
You know? You have good hair, so why wear a hat? Not that it's
I'm so good about it. He's got hair. I mean, it's not
crow, whatever those crow things are called.
Cornrows?
No, the crows. What is it called?
The
widow's peak. You're not widow peaking, and you're not.
I feel like it's coming soon.
He's getting there. Put your head down for America. It's getting there. A little creepage. You're a little creepage. You are at your own, in terms of having a reasonably full head of hair. You are at your own 17-yard line. No, you're playing defense. Hold on. You're obviously playing defense there, so you don't have the ball. So you're playing defense, and genetics has the ball at their own 29-yard line, and you're trying to defend your own goal, obviously, which would be, you know, a full head of hair. And you're okay for a little bit.
How long am I going to be able to hold him off?
Depends upon how good your defense is, man. Do you go prevent defense? I mean, do you start going Rogaine prevent? I mean,
I think you have at least 8 to 10 years.
Oh yeah, now you're actually in pretty good shape.
You're good. You'll be married and have a couple kids before you.
I agree with that. Oh, and then once the kids come, you have nothing because you'll be ripping
it
out.
And then just shave it off. So don't fight it.
Are you going to be a shave it kind of guy?
I want to shave it before I get to that point.
That's key. Shave it before you have to.
You got to be proactive.
Here's the important question. When he actually does go bald, do you think he throws a Nolan Arenado-type tantrum in the dugout by breaking his bat and beating up? Yeah, that was crazy.
I love that stuff. A lot of people, we were going to get to this here in Inbounds, Out of Bounds. We didn't have time for
this.
No, I love it. See, I have no problem with that.
I mean, I get it.
Get a look at it now. I mean, he's incensed.
I mean, here's why. I don't get it.
Good.
You can legit hurt yourself.
Sure.
I mean,
something could snap back at your face.
That you could hurt a teammate.
True.
I mean,
well, that's why there's some codes.
You've done these things, like when you throw something really hard and you're like, ah, that hurt.
Or it ricochets back. One time I actually threw my helmet at the rack and it came back and it smashed me in the face.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I've been there.
I mean, we saw Odell do this.
I was always unhappy
when Odell hit the kicking net. Didn't it come back at him?
I mean, yes, it hit him
hard,
too.
So it attacked him back. So yeah, of course. I mean,
we got to go something that's generally not pliable so it doesn't have a cushion effect.
True. But because he threw like the gum. You know, they have whatever the gum is they have. The big league chew. I think it's probably the.
A couple of rules here.
But here's my point. Somebody's going to clean that up. You know what I mean?
It's called the custodian.
Why are you making it so hard on the equipment?
They got to clean up a million seeds and 37 puddles of tobacco juice anyway.
If you're cleaning up seeds, do you want to be picking out the bubble gum?
No, but do you want to be picking up seeds in the first place?
Okay.
I don't think that you're thrilled that you're doing it.
But you go to a bar like one of these roadhouse bars.
There's sawdust and the
peanut shells. Yeah. I mean, whatever. That's fine. But if someone throws bubble gum that's in those little wrappers, so they're individually wrapped. Yeah. So it's not like just a bag of big league chew that's getting thrown down there. It's this little, what do they call bubble yum or whatever those bubbles?
I know what you're saying,
right? And they're just mixed amongst all the seeds. It's just
tough
like,
work.
Just
I mean,
disgusting,
I'm not saying I don't feel badly for the person who's got to clean it up, but.
It's really about hurting
their job.
You could hurt yourself doing this.
Well, here's the thing. The only thing that I have a problem with is, and there is a little code here. Generally, I wouldn't mind take it down the tunnel. Mm. Like, go in the tunnel where you're not on camera. Because, you know, as much as, you know, I mean, we've all, well, actually, you were pretty composed. But we've all had moments of like this.
There's the bubble gum.
I know. But you don't want to see kids. You don't want kids to see that.
Some guy is going to come back into the dugout and be like, I just have my mouth all ready for some bubble gum.
If he says
where's that bubble gum?
I'm probably walking away from him anyway if he says it like that.
There's no black guys in there anyway. So
no, it sounded like he was hitting on him. It sounded like, you know, the way he said it. Go down the tunnel, you know, smash a bat. The only thing, don't punch with your, and pitchers do this.
Yeah.
Don't use your throwing hand, obviously. You know, I mean, but emotion's good. I mean, come on. I have no problem with that. Take when you're in like a 1-for-19 funk, or you're a 0-for-5 with 3 punch outs, and you feel.
But
you
how,
feel
is,
like
that helping?
It's not
helping.
Of course, it's not helping.
Go get Zen. Go get like a meditation in the dugout.
You're the wrong guy to ask. This guy somehow has the ability to control his brain better than all of us. When you're in traffic, right, and you are just pissed off, people cut you off, and there's nowhere to go, and you're late. Don't you, D-Cell, we speak the same language when it comes to this stuff. Don't you just feel better, even though it solves nothing? You look like a 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. Really. Doesn't it just feel better when you just smash the steering wheel?
Nope.
Get it out for a second.
Nope.
Absolutely. Just let
it
go.
Nope. It hurts.
Get everything off your chest.
It doesn't
hurt. You know how you solve that? Watch Netflix like I do.
While you're driving?
While I'm driving.
It feels great for that like immediate 20 seconds or 15 seconds. And then the aftermath, after you realize that you accidentally broke your steering column and there's a crack now in your windshield and your tire went flat because you reared off the side of the road. When I was younger, I used to play video games and have like crazy video game rage where I would throw remote controls against the wall all the time.
Oh, I could totally see him doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I could see him doing that.
And you're like, you're super satisfied for that 2 seconds that you threw the remote and you heard the crack. But now you have no remote. There's a hole in the wall. Mom's going to send you up to your room. You don't get dinner or dessert. It's like, you know what? The game wasn't that important.
Oh, man.
Watching Netflix.
I don't know. But here's the other problem. Like with my car, and I can't remember the last time I've done this, but my car's got as most cars, on the steering wheel, the 3D.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the, it's got a little it's a little jagged edge to it.
Yeah, yeah.
One time I did cut myself when I first got it a couple of years ago. I unleashed on it. But you know what? I felt better. My hand didn't feel better. I felt temporarily better. But just don't break somebody else's equipment. And really, in all seriousness, as much as, you know, we all have our temper flare-ups, whatever. You know, I wouldn't want my son doing that. You know, like, it's funny. Jen, this is funny. When at my 40th birthday, she put together this great compilation from the time I was, whatever, 8 and all the way up to college of baseball and other stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Golf and just messing around. And it was great. And there was one time I was probably 10 or 11, and I was pitching in the game. I was pitching well, but I also struck out. And I flung my helmet and I flung my bat. And I remember we didn't have kids yet. This is a couple of years ago. She's like, you know, when we have kids, I don't want them doing that. And I'm like, I'm saying to myself, that's how I've always been when it comes to that stuff, you know? And now, you know, a little more measured, a little more mature, you know, if Colton or, you know, I don't know if a girl's going to quite have, but certainly if Colton ever did that, he'd get a stern talking to from dad. So back to the Arenado stuff.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, you don't do that. I mean, there's a way to comport yourself. And listen, these guys get a lot of money. I'll tell you this, though, before we get the update, we'll move on. I would rather see somebody like that who's getting paid a ton of money, and there was every reason not to be pissed off.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the game's over, when they're on the road, they're going to the Four Seasons, or he's getting his Maserati and he's going home to his palatial estate in dense suburban Colorado, at least the guy cares.
Yeah.
So at least he cares.
Just don't hurt yourself.
Don't hurt yourself. All right. How are you feeling, buddy? You good?
I'm doing well. I'm loving these stories.
Well, it's true. I mean, come on. We're from the same place, Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes you got to let it go.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about. Tiki-ness, passive Virginia ways. Until, of course, he doesn't have to be passive. Then he can wreck all of us probably in one death, like one heart chest shot, probably. No, and there's probably a ninja who didn't even tell us. All right, let's get football at the 40s. Mike D'Antoni, by the way, says all the pressure's on Golden State. Is he right or is it empty rhetoric? We'll get to that as well. Football at the 40s, but first, Axe update. Here's Rich. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back. Time now for the Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. We take a look at the one who's getting it done this week. It's Yankees phenom Gleyber Torres, and they got a bunch of them. Yankees young star. He's played just 25 games since he was called up. That was back on April 22nd, but he's hitting a robust .321. He's got 6 homers, 18 RBIs, also 22 bombs last night against the Rangers, and the youngest since Mickey Mantle. The youngest Yankee since Mickey Mantle to do that. At least more than one home run in a game here. So he is looking really good, and he really polished at second base. He can hit, he can run. Yankees have a star in Torres, no doubt. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Granger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Granger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Granger, for the ones who get it done. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here on a Tuesday. Top of the 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific hour, Rockets, Warriors, D'Antoni putting the pressure on the Warriors. Empty rhetoric, or is there something behind that? Also, we will unveil and reveal our Tiki and Tierney Def Leppard Journey Grand Prize winner all-expense trip out to San Francisco. So that's coming up right around, I'd say 5:15 Eastern, 2:15 Pacific, right in that neighborhood. So we got a lot going on. Also, a really juicy football at the 40s. Ready to jump into it?
Yeah, let's get to it.
And there's some good stuff in here. Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, here we go. So as we all know, the great Peter King just penned or typed his final column for the MMQB. Of course, Peter King, good friend of the show.
Yep.
We wish him well in his next phase. Not that he needs it. He's great. But he had a terrific sit-down with Brett Favre, and they traced back to when they had an interview back in the mid-90s here. And some of the things that came out about this is Brett Favre really opened up about his painkiller, addiction, how he went to rehab more times than people knew, and how he actually said, Teak, at one point he was taking 14 Vicodins at a time.
That's crazy.
And he would wake up and all they wanted to know was where was his pills, and basically the MVP in his words, was one on a pain pill buzz.
Yeah, now this is the side of the game that we don't talk about as much anymore. We used to talk more about this, actually. The guys who had to have knee replacements and debilitating physical injuries. It's been replaced, unfortunately, not unfortunately, but just, I guess, probably fortunately, because we weren't talking about concussions at all. It's been replaced by the head trauma issue. But this is one of the reasons why when we talk about medical marijuana in the National Football League, it's such a big deal, because guys need alternatives to the opioids that they're constantly given and get addicted to. I mean, Brett Favre was one of those guys who just never wanted to leave the field. And there's a reason why he didn't leave the field, because he was always feeling good from taking care of injuries via medicine. Walter Payton, by some estimations, was also the same way. Took those pain pills like they were candy, just to stay out on the field. It's got to change. Otherwise, guys are going to start dying early, not from CTE and those related issues, but some of these other ones as well. Opioid addictions are devastating in this country.
It's a real problem. Here's the exact part of the quote. But that year is referenced in 95 when he won the MVP. When I woke up in the morning, my first thought was, I got to get some pills. I took 14 Vicodin one time.
Wow.
And I was getting about an hour or two of sleep many nights, maybe 30 minutes of quality sleep. I was the MVP on a pain pill buzz. Wow. All right, Teague, moving on. The creator of an innovative football helmet that performed best in the NFL testing the past couple of years is now taking its concussion-reducing technology from the playing field to the battlefield. We actually saw this helmet. It was brought to us at the Super Bowl. The company's Visus. We saw the prototype, and they're the maker of the 01 football helmet. They're partnering with the U.S. Army to research ways to reduce head injuries in the military. What a phenomenal initiative. Great stuff here.
Yeah, no, we've seen these Visus helmets, and they're the number one rated helmet in the National Football League by the NFLPA and the NFL. They're very expensive, but that's because of all the research and development that's gone into them. And now they're working with the United States military, who obviously face some of the same issues because of concussions and from blunt trauma or compression trauma. So they're working on changing the helmets that our servicemen and women use. It's awesome. I mean, it's obviously a great technology for a sport, but it's even more so for those that are protecting our country.
That was great footage, by the way, if you're watching us here on CBS Sports Network. That was really well done. Appreciate that, guys. They just showed how detailed the testing is. Here's the quote from the co-founder and the CEO of Visus. This aligns with our mission, and it allows us to protect those who have signed up to protect us. That a boy, that a girl. Nice job. Awesome all around. Okay, let's play this cut. Belichick on Brady. You know, Belichick doesn't waste his time with a whole lot of inane nonsense. So when he's asked about somebody, no matter who it is, even if Brady or Gronk, whomever, doesn't matter, Belichick, pretty much everybody's the same. Here's the head coach on Brady not being at OTAs.
Bill, Tom's not here today. Have you guys spoken at length about...
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving. They're working hard. And those are the guys we're going to focus on.
Rob Gronkowski had mentioned he's going to play next
Wasted
season.
Wasted your time, buddy. Appreciate the effort.
And he called it a productive meeting.
Yeah, like I said, Mike, I'm focused on the guys that are here.
Is that probably Mike Reese, who covers the Pats for ESPN? I think that sounded like Mike, and his name is Mike Reese. I don't know. I mean, I guess credit Reese for going back to the well and trying to get something. You get that bone is dry, man. That bone, that's like the biggest bone on December 19th from Thanksgiving. It's dry. Yeah. There's nothing there. You get nothing.
But he's going to try. Here's the thing, man. We've spent so much of this offseason talking about, why didn't Malcolm Butler not play in the Super Bowl? And Gronk's going to retire and go wrestle and be an actor. But no, he's going to come back, but his contract's not done yet. Technically, it can't be done until May 24th, as we talked about, because of the incentives in his deal. Tom Brady's not here, and he's the one who himself said the OTAs are the beginning of the process to start into training camp, which ultimately leads to a really good start of your regular season. And he's not there. Bill Belichick likes to keep his press conferences, really any talking point about the X's and O's. This Patriots team, the Patriot way, looks like they're changing, because the questions aren't going to be about the X's and O's as long as these two guys aren't around.
It's a skill to be able to deflect and, avoid and dance and stick and move.
But it's not going to easily subside if Tom Brady is not there.
And you said yesterday you're not worried, though. To reiterate for those who missed it, I think it's a big deal. Tiki doesn't. He played. I'm going to defer on this. It just... for a team that always does it a certain way, for
where
them to deviate from that.
Where's Tom Brady going?
He's not I don't
going
know,
anywhere.
But he's
he
not there.
Play, he's
but he always said it was important.
I know.
So it's not important now?
Well,
I mean, for 15 years he told us it's important.
It was important for him to be the example, and he's just not the example right now.
So it's not important anymore.
Well,
or he's just compromising
him.
What he said was
it's not important.
Important
to him.
Doesn't mean it's not important to the rest of the team. That's my point yesterday.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out. Okay, Matt Patricia, not a real surprise at this. We know that he did not disclose that he was involved in the sexual assault alleged case years ago. Obviously, we talked about that a lot here on the show. It was a big talking point. But I didn't think that he was going to get disciplined from the NFL. And the report came down. This was after our show yesterday. Schefter had this. He will not face discipline from the NFL over the sexual assault case.
Yeah, and look, this is something that happened 22 years ago. He's not facing discipline from the National Football League because he was not, at the time, an employee of the National Football League. Plus, it's been so long. And again, BT correctly pointed this out. This is not an issue other than the vetting process, which they say was done correctly, but obviously there were some misses in it. This won't be an issue long term unless the alleged victim comes out and starts talking. And then it becomes a big issue.
That's, you know, and that was my main point. You know, you're right. I mean, who knows? They play the Jets in week one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't even really have emotion that I hope that it does or doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I guess I hope for, I hope it for the, if this actually occurred, oh man, this has nine more layers to this conversation. Let me put it this way. The only way it would be a real problem pertaining to football, since that's what we do in large part, I'm going to keep it there. Is if the day before the season started, the alleged victim came out and had a detailed sit-down with Oprah, with whomever, Anderson Cooper, somebody on Fox, whatever, and the details were unavoidable and they were sorted and they were painful. Now Patricia's job is not about football. It's about deflecting from this, and then it would be a problem because it would bite into the football.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's what I did say. Just wanted to reset that for the audience that may have missed that show, T. How about this? Looks like Las Vegas and L.A. going to become the cornerstones of the new Super Bowl rotation. Okay, I'm in.
Why not?
Sign us up. Let's go.
We know what they used to be. Miami, Tampa.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis and New Orleans were in the regular rotation. But now because of the new stadiums that come into the National Football League, the quid pro quo is if you build a new stadium, you get a Super Bowl. I love this. I think Vegas will be amazing for a Super Bowl. Depending how far off the strip. I can't remember. How far off the strip did you say the Raiders stadium was?
I mean, everything off the strip is within a mile. It's right by McCarran Airport, roughly-ish.
Not that far at all.
UNLV, probably. Yeah, it's about a mile and a half.
Exactly. Easy to get in and out.
Look at that thing.
L.A. might be a little bit harder.
Just look at that stadium.
I mean, if it's actually like that.
It looks like Darth Vader. It looks like a crib that you put Darth Vader in when Darth Vader was a baby. Just look at that thing. Are you kidding me? Like, if Darth Vader was a newborn, and I know the Star Wars, I know that it didn't go that way. But that's like a bassinet for Darth Vader. Just look at that thing. That thing is sick.
If they can execute it that way, it'll look amazing.
That thing is sick. This is interesting here. So the Giants say that Odell Beckham wants to do more. He's at OTAs. He's certainly putting on his big boy pants and doing the right thing. But the Giants are actually keeping him back a little bit. Pat Shurmur taking the prudent route, coming off the surgery, of course. You got to make sure, you know, your biggest horse is ready to burst out of the stable when it starts. And while he's fully healthy, they are taking this very smart and a very systematic approach to getting him back involved.
Look, he looks just from looking at the footage that you can see here, he's coming off a fractured ankle, which is not necessarily, you know, something that you should be worried about, but it's not something you want to push. Meaning you don't need to worry about it because it's not like a ligament damage or something of that nature. It's just a bone healing. And usually once those bones heal, they actually get stronger because of the callus and things of that nature. So it's good that they're holding him back. As we all know, he's not holding out for a contract. All that talk this offseason that he wasn't going to show up, now they're kind of protecting him from himself because he wants to be out there full strength. That's the beauty of Odell. Once he's there, he's all dialed in.
Oh, he loves football. Yeah, sometimes people who maybe aren't close to New York or just kind of parachute in on stories. And I've taken some issue with some of his actions here. But his actions. He is 100%. He loves football, and he wants to be the best. I've always believed that.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
That's it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Yeah, they were saying that, you know, maybe it's just not practical. Somebody actually had said maybe we should do the Super Bowl in Vegas every year. And logistically, that's a monster challenge. Yeah. Plus, you've got to defer to some of the other stadiums, of course, keep everybody happy. But the thought is it's going to be within, you know, 4 or 5 year rotation. So you get Vegas every 4 or 5 years, L.A. every 4 or 5 years. And to reiterate, cool, we'll see you there. We'll be there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.